Scorpions Avenue.
Tree, how are you?
I'm good, Monet. I've been watching you on Drag Race, and now I'm actually speaking with you in person. Have you been enjoying the exposure?
You know, I have been enjoying Drag Race a whole lot this season. This is, as you all know, my third time back. And, you know, I have very fond memories of Drag Race. Every time I've gone to Drag Race, I've had a good time, and this time is no exception. And this is so celebratory. The judges, Rue, even the whole camera crew, everyone that, because you've been to Drag Race before. You've done stints with Drag U and your shenanigans stunt for your funeral on All Stars 4. So the camera crew and everyone there, they've been a team that have been working for a long time. A lot of people have been there for years and over 10 years at this point. Sarge, Jake, all those people. So it is kind of like going back to see friends and family again, weirdly enough. So I always have, I'm having a great time just remembering doing it.
So do you think that since you've all won before, you won your seasons or you have won yours, and with Trinity, do you think that because you've already established yourselves by winning, that this is kind of like, I mean, of course they say this is the upper echelon, this is the creme de la creme. Do you feel
Bendela
that?
Creme.
No, not her, never her. And may I just note
I saw her show, by the way. It was great. Her show, I'm ready to be committed, I think it's called. Uh-huh. It is so funny. It's so brilliant. If she comes to your town, I'm sure she'll probably be in P-Town this summer or something like that. It is such a great show. Bendela Creme show. Really funny. Oh, really cool. Smart. Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of Bendela Creme, do you know who looks more like Michelle Visage than Ben?
Who?
The Vivian.
No, she
does
not.
Of course she does. She's got the same nose, the same fake cheekbones and lips.
No, I don't. I think
Michelle's cheekbones are real.
Yeah, I do not see the same. No, I don't. Viv and Michelle, I don't see the similarity at all. I don't see that, honey.
Viv is pretty, but she's giving you a Sharon Osbourne effect.
What does that mean? A Sharon Osbourne effect?
It means she looks like Sharon Osbourne.
How does Sharon Osbourne look?
Like Gottmik without white face.
Or do you think that the Viv looks very alabaster?
Oh, she has beautiful skin.
She is. And I will say that Vivian looks like her pictures. She looks like she does her makeup so flawlessly. It is it's crazy. You look at her, you see her on Instagram, you see her on TV, and she looks like that in real life. It's actually very impressive.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any experience with her because, I don't know her, and B, I didn't see the Drag Race England, but she's very appealing, quick with a joke and seems fun. I mean, I haven't seen that much of the performance, but obviously her snatch game was great. I wanted to ask you, though, what I was trying to ask before. So because everyone's a winner and no one is going home, is that why you say that you feel like this was old home week to where you just... You feel like you can, because I think Jada said something to that effect, we can try more things without feeling that the competition is that stiff, because, you know, maybe try something we're not good at or haven't been known to be good at. So does that take some of the pressure off? Because no one is going home. And I didn't quite understand the significance of the badges, but maybe mm-hmm. you can explain that. Like, so there's not the fear in this season that there yeah. would be if you were being eliminated, because you're all going to be on every episode.
Yeah. I think that's 100% true. I think that, you know, in normal Drag Race, you know, you go there with your bag of tricks that you're prepared for the snatch game and the different challenges, because you're like, oh, I know what I'm going to do, and I know how to do it. But with this season, and you go in there like so prepared, because you're like, bitch, I don't want to be sent home and be embarrassed and blah, blah, blah. But with this season, knowing that we're not going home, like, you are more... there is just a freedom in that, and knowing that even if you try something, if you swing big and you miss, you're still going to be in the competition, and you'll still get to show all these expensive clothes that you fucking got from these designers to wear on the show. So I think, yeah, there is a freedom in that.
And oh, with the do stars, you wear do you wear expensive clothing later on in the season?
Yeah, yeah, later on, way much later on. I definitely don't start with it. Yeah, yeah, I wanted to surprise everyone. And in this season with the stars, how they work is that, so you get these, so whoever the top two of the week are, they each get a star, unless you're blocked by someone the week before. So you saw in the first episode, me and Shay both got a star because we both won, and because it was the first challenge, no one was blocked. The second episode, and then that same night, Shay blocked Trinity, right? So then right. the next coming week, Trinity and Jinx won. So only Jinx got a star because Trinity was blocked.
Okay, say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Yes, Grandma. So for the first two episodes, for the first episode, Shay and Monet Exchange won. They each get a star. And then Shay won the lip sync. So then Shay got the chance to block someone for the next week. So Shay chose to block Trinity.
Okay, but what does it mean if you're blocked?
If you're blocked, you cannot. If you end up winning the challenge the next week, you cannot get a star. You just get the chance to win and maybe lip sync for some money, but you can't get a star.
Okay, so at the end, do they count up the stars? Is that factored yes. into the judging?
Yes. At the end, the four queens with the most stars, the four queens that have the most stars, go into the grand finale and they lip sync for the chance to win the big cash prize. So they get to lip sync for the crown. I mean, yeah, the crown and the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
did you enjoy Snatch Game?
I love Snatch Game. You were very funny, and the voice, it's got a visual component, and then the voice is funny too. So I thought you were great. I thought it was an extreme, I agree with everybody. It was a very strong Snatch Game. I mean, I don't have a ton to compare it to, but of course I love that Raja. Of course I love that Raja did Madam. And if I may, as a senior, explain what is some of the significance of Madam. Madam was a puppet. Yes, Madam was a puppet who was created by a gay man, quite flamboyant, bleach blonde hair. You know, named Wayland Flowers, who was on, you know, the same Provincetown circuit, you know, that Ben de la Creme, you know, or Jimmy James, or some of these performers are, you know, on Varla Jean Merman, Dina Martina. So then Madame became more and more popular with a nightclub act, which was like the Golden Girls. You could get away with saying something a little dirtier than usual because it was an old woman in Golden Girls or an old woman puppet. But what's interesting to me about this is that back then we didn't have Drag Race. We didn't have Legendary. We didn't have Pose. We didn't have any of that. Right. We don't have Pose anymore, but which I'm sad about. But you had to squat your Nelly sissy ass back behind a couch and put your hand in drag. With a puppet, you could not be seen. It was your voice. It was your mannerisms living through a puppet. But there was no makeup on your face, and you could not get in drag. So soon, Madam started hosting Solid Gold, the music program in the 80s, where artists were, you know, invited to perform their hits of the day, a mainstream TV show with Dionne Warwick, who also has rather prominent cheekbones and sharp features, and they look like they could have been twins. Yeah. I mean, so it was like you were seeing this thing that was a gay man's imagination and cutting gay men's humor, insult humor, reading. But it was just, you know, back then you had to squat your Nelly butt behind a couch. And so I am glad that Raja, who was perhaps a little closer to my age, remembers that stuff, because it was like, you know, you had to have a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I mean, Madam never said a gay man is responsible for this magic. But
yeah.
if people want to see something that is lots of fun about the character that Raja did, which is Madam, simply known as Madam, there is a movie that I've rented about 5 times of Wayland Flowers and Madam. It's called Madam Takes Manhattan. And at the, of course, it's a lot of it's her doing her, you know, nightclub act. So it's dirty and funny and different characters. But at the end, Wayland Flowers puts that puppet to bed and starts telling the story about how when I was young, no one understood me. But I had a grandmother who was a lot like the puppet Madam. When my grandmother died, I felt very, very alone. And then Madam was born. So we didn't have anything like that back then. Mm-hmm. We didn't. I mean, I literally cry when I watch that movie still, because this had to be so hidden, you know, that he couldn't say I was gay and my grandmother understand. He couldn't say, did you say you had a cool grandmother?
A cool grandmother?
Somebody I know was saying.
Not as cool as you, Lady Bunny.
Oh, you just read your grandmother. Okay, and me. Anyway, Madam is not on the tip of everyone's tongue, but there's a lot of gay history in there, and I did love seeing that. Now, also, Jinx was a scream as
so
Judy.
Good.
In her,
yeah, so fucking that good.
Now, I thought that, that as Rue said, Evie, oddly, as that male character was ridiculously sexy, and I don't know why I want the boogeyman to fuck me with contacts in, but I guess I do. I guess I like to boogie-oogie. This booger-ooger-ooger will boogie-oogie-oogie on over to that boogeyman anytime.
Evie is a very attractive gentleman. Also, Evie would not stop walking around the workroom naked. Evie's big dick was just swinging around the workroom all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's a massive penis.
That's the first time I've understood why she might be there. I'm just kidding. Now, I want to get into a little bit of controversy because, and you would know more about this week, because this isn't just Drag Race. It's also deep in the bowels of the internet. And I guess, is it Violet and Gottmik got on, is it the Pit Stop?
No, Fashion Photo Review.
Fashion Photo Review. And would you like to tell us what's happened when it came to...
oh my God, the children get so riled up with stuff. So Violet and Gottmik have taken over doing Fashion Photo Review for the all winter season, and the first 2 episodes came out, and they you know, but people know this. So Violet, a precursor to this, Violet has done what, 3 Pit Stop episodes now. She did the one with Trixie, she did it with me. And I'm sure she's probably going to do one this season with Bob when she reviews the ball episode specifically, because there are a lot of looks in those episodes. And Violet has been known, like, she went super viral when she did with Trixie, because she was just so cunty, and she was like chopping everything. She's like, no, ugly. Like, she was like very, 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 very severe, right? But that's Violet. You've worked with Violet. I've worked with Violet. We both know Violet for years. That is Violet's personality. It fucking makes me howl. It cracks me up. She's so, like, that is Violet's thing. That is the essence of Violet, knowing that she is this cunty fashionista girl. Like, that's just who she is.
Yeah, I mean, I love that about
same.
I mean, you know, I mean, however, I do have a friend that was like, oh no, I couldn't go on that trip with her. So I don't know if it's a shtick that's based on her, you know, real personality, and she just likes me, so I don't get it. But I, you yeah. know, when you're on a tour and someone is really bitchy and over it, sometimes it can put you off. Sometimes it just makes you laugh because it's just like, what else can you do? What else can you do?
So Violet took over doing Violet took over doing Fashion Photo Review with Got Mick, and Violet you know, she did episode 1 and episode 2, and she booted three out of the four looks Roger came out with, especially her crown queen look, which everyone, you know, Roger's Louis Henry, what was it, Louis or Henry?
Louis Henry.
Louis the 14th. Yeah, Louis Henry. Yeah. One of them French rulers, whatever. And she did that amazing look, and everyone gushed, and everyone loved it, and Violet booted it. And then Violet also booted Raja's Pleather Principle look, which everyone loved and was gagging over. So everyone just couldn't believe that she, like she booted Raja's looks because they were so fucking just beautiful. So I, you know, just, and Violet and I, this is how Violet and I, we joke and shade each other, like, via text, in person. Like, this is our relationship. This is how we talk all the time. So I tweeted out, let me quote myself exactly what I said. I tweeted, booting Raja, that's where I draw the line. And, like, a lot of people commented. A lot of people liked it. And then Violet commented. She said, she tweeted back at me, leave me alone. Then I said, leave fashion alone. And then she said, you should teach me about it because you know so much. And I said, made a joke about Santi Ali. But people are like jumping, like tweeting back, like, I can't believe who gave them the right. Oh, they should get up. I'm like, that's Violet. Like, that's who Violet is. And none of us in the show are really upset about it. We're all like having like a fun cackle at it. But the fans just get really, really, really invested and think that this is some type of serious exchange.
Well, I mean, but why do they watch a show where every other word is reading and shade if they don't know what reading and shade is or appreciate it?
Right. You're right. Exactly.
So, okay, let's get into this a little bit, because I'm going to say that I did not see the up close. I didn't see the red look that they did not like. I didn't really see the details on that much, but I did not like her queen outfit. It gave
the crown queen one.
Yeah, it gave me. Now I loved almost every look in that whole segment, but so Raja's thing is that she can take junky stuff, you know, like found objects in the street, and give it a haute couture feeling because she has that flair. In terms of styling, and she's beautiful.
Yeah.
But the runway was a little hesitant, and the look, you know, like I say, I'm colorblind. The look reminded me of that Johnny Depp character from the Alice in
Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh,
no, the Mad Hatter. Where he wore that. I mean. That's what, and I'm like, you know, Raja is so otherworldly. I mean, I find it odd that she would be doing, I mean, she who does makeup, I mean, that's like a common Halloween look. But also.
What?
Yes, I mean, you should see that out at every Halloween.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was super well done. When Raja put the outfit on, and I love her choice of hair with it, and like those really, those shoes that look of the period. But they weren't, obviously, and they were in the hat. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was great. I fucking loved it.
Yeah. One other thing is that, so to wear pants that are baggy and 3/4 lengths, that is a great way, even if your legs are long and lean like Raja's. That's a way to shorten your legs. And to me, the proportion looked off because she was wearing no boobs, a big ruffle so that was high neck so that her neck didn't look wrong, look long. And then her legs didn't look that long. And I was like, I'm not seeing the fashion icon, Raja. I'm seeing something that is, you know, really elaborate, but not working. So, you know, they said, the judges said something about the story and the detail. I said, you might want to go back to the story board and the drawing board with that one, Miss Thing. But I want to read you, a tweet that has something to do with what you're saying about the fans going too far. Because when I saw Violet trending, I like Violet. I wanted to see what was up. You know, I spoke with Gottmik the other day. They're coming here to do some Pride gig, and it's outdoors, so I'm going to try to go. But Granny's going to try to get her respirator in and go and support. But this is what someone tweeted when it was revealed. And so you got into this. Bob got into this. Violet tweeted, I'm going to keep, you know, doing it. Like you said, that's your shtick. If something went viral the last time you were mean, why wouldn't you want mean again? Because clearly she has the power to trend, although I think that there's some anime figure also named Violet.
Violet tweeted, I booted your fave and ... checks notes. I will be doing it again.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's funny and it's hateful, and I would probably tune in. But here's what some, I don't know how old they are. I can't see, you know, but he said, Violet booting Raja's looks? Please, the hypercritical mean girl, yes queen, savage shtick is getting really old. It reeks of ignorance and insecurity from a skinny, white, passing man.
Oh my God.
And Gottmik chiming in, oh, white man, trust, you will be dealt with.
Oh God! It is
so. I mean, wait. So Violet is she half Ecuadorian? I mean,
I don't know if she's half, but I mean, whatever it is, she is Ecuadorian. Ecuadorian?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, so she's a, that means, what do you mean by saying that she's a white passing man?
Yeah.
And I've seen other people, like, criticize Bianca Del Rio, who is Latino as well, for being a stealth Latino. Mm-hmm. In other words, she doesn't run around, you know, doing Jennifer Lopez numbers. I mean, her last name is Del Rio, but she's you know, she doesn't make that a central part of her identity. And yeah. I'm like, wow, it's like, there are so many important things to focus on regarding, you know, race. This young man who tweeted this, he appears to be Asian to me. Maybe that's why he's sensitive. He connects with Raja because they're both Asian. I don't know. And didn't want his favorite to be. But why would you turn into a photo review if you don't want to see them reviewed? So
yeah.
He goes on to say, and this is just crazy. So, I mean, listen, I'm not judging Violet or the show or anyone else, maybe judging some of the fans, not all the fans. He tweeted, everyone's entitled to an opinion. No, shut up. Anyway, who needs the validation of someone whose only personality is being cinched when the icon that is that one queen on Pit Stop has been spitting only facts? And then goes on to say, to end this thread, this is a grand young person, I just want to say that innocent children are being murdered in the U.S. due to gun violence.
Oh, God. Then they rope that in.
Yes. The culture of impunity has to end. Impunity meaning you don't fear any consequences for your actions. I'm like, young person, somebody has filled your head up with some serious shit. I don't think were the other queens that white passing Violet booted all white? Because Violet wants to be white and not be Ecuadorian. I mean, I don't see it, but I mean, this is pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it's wild. I'm like, girl, it's like, come on. Yeah, people are really getting, like, This is insane that this is the reaction.
Yeah, this person is Asian. Okay, I'll tell you one other thing that happened like that a few years ago. So there's a drag queen who is a professor of Latinx studies. That's their word. Ooh. I say Latino. So he is like actually teaching people. And one day he tweeted, and it's fine. You know, it's not coming out of his mouth. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's tongue in cheek. But he tweeted the season that Valentina was on, and I'm still clinging on to it years later. He claimed that, only, you know, like six episodes in and all the Latino queens have been sent home. This is Trump's America. And I'm like, God. Oh my God. You know, now hold on, mama. Are you joking? Or is it really your job to teach people about Latinx stuff? And this is the prism that you see it for? Because Trump is rotten. And Trump was president then. And Trump was not good to immigrants, we all know. But Trump does not cast or eliminate Drag Race. I don't think he has I know this person, and they are interviewed talking about stuff like this all the time.
Oh, God.
So listen. It's just like, I have heard other things like that add an element of race to Drag Race. I've heard Bob complain about how white queens get off the hook more easily. And that I've heard for years that on shows like, the singing competitions on TV, that the black contestants will get hate mail, like off the rafters. So, I didn't see that myself.
I mean, you say that, and I'm immediately brought back to American Idol season one, when fucking Tamira Gray got eliminated over Nikki McKibben. And I mean, if y'all remember, Tamara Gray was fucking killing it on American Idol. She was so fucking good. But you know, she had a one-off night, and Nikki McKibben sang Black Velvet, like her one good performance, and Tamara was instantly out. Now, I'm not saying this because Tamara was black, but I just, since you just
yes, you are. Sing competition. Yes, you
I just remember that. I remember being so devastated when Tamira Gray got kicked off. It was crazy. I was like, because everyone was waiting for the showdown between Kelly Clarkson and Tamira Gray, not fucking Justin Guarini. And I know you Gen Zers have no idea who these people are, but millennials.
No, I
and
do.
Gen
He's
Xers,
cute. That one was cute. I remember
he was not cute. He was fine.
He has a nose job.
I think that's his nose.
That's a pretty classic. We whittled too much off the middle to fit the nostrils. I don't know.
He does look a little. Yeah, maybe he has a little something done. I don't know. But Justin Guarini was fine. He was fine. He wasn't like so cute. He was fine. He's not dead. Anyway. But that's a little bit of the Drag Race drama. I just want to say, listen, none of these Fashion Photo Review, Pit Stop, none of them are showing you facts. I mean, none of them are giving facts. These are opinion-based shows. The real facts are what are happening on Drag Race. Who got a star? Who got eliminated? Who won the challenge? Like, those are the facts. Fashion Photo Review and Pit Stop and Bootleg Opinions, well, they're very blatant about that. They're opinions. And all these other reviews, these are all opinion-based shows. So let people have their fucking opinions and let them say their shit. Like, worry about the facts, which are who won and who got blocked and who won the lip sync. Like, those are the facts.
Yeah, and, you know, most people that watch the show are not like that. And, you know, I also want to say that even though I've kind of, you know, highlighted this guy's tweets, which I think are insane, and introducing all kinds of, and that has nothing to do with me liking Violet or not liking Raja's, thing. But I think that young people, especially as an old person who is very silly, I think they should have the space and the time to say anything they want, get excited about anything they want, get upset at any queen that they want, and blah, 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 blah. But, yeah. I mean, I would be embarrassed by that tweet if it lived forever online, and I was just, you know, into
and Lady Bunny would bring it up every couple of years to embarrass you. Yeah, I would hate it too.
Well, you saw how I clung onto that other one, who actually is the person that I like. So you're a bitch. I think that now actually I ran into Rue about 2 weeks ago.
Where?
In L.A. On the street, girl.
No, you did not.
In West Hollywood, in front of the Ramada.
You did not run into RuPaul. You are such a liar, Lady Bunny.
Bitch, I'll tell you. You know what? I could have run into him twice because I saw him the second day and he was with somebody. I said, well, girl, you didn't change your t-shirt today anyways. You had on the same one yesterday, so you ain't going to say to him hi twice in 2 days. But no,
wait. So Rue was just walking around West Hollywood? Like, that seems crazy. Rue would just be walking around West Hollywood. I feel like everybody would mob him for a picture or I love, you know what I mean? Rue was just walking around West Hollywood?
Yeah, I mean, he said it had been a while, but I told him, I ran into you at some coffee place a few years back. But, you know, I'll say that the interesting thing, and I don't remember Rue doing this, so I hope this means that Rue is at a happy place and enjoying himself. But he had on a look, like usually, you know as well as I do, Rue is either in drag or out of drag.
Yeah.
You know, and this was like a like out of drag for sure with flats, but it was hit like a drapey thing over his head and giant sunglasses, kind of like a Grace Jonesy look, but with like a track suit. So anyway.
Really? My God, buddy. Oh my God. And okay, so when you guys see each other, obviously everyone knows Lady Bunny and RuPaul go back decades. Y'all live together, y'all are roommates, y'all are best friends. Do y'all like, so when you see, like, is this like, hey girl, and like a 2 second high, or y'all like sit and shoot the shit for a second? Like, what happens?
Oh well, yeah, but I mean, you know, we live together in Atlanta and New York, so we can easily pick up where we went off. I mean, where mm-hmm. we left off. And he told me, oh, I'm about to start filming season 15. Can you believe it? You know, we just bullshitted. I was there to DJ for the Angeline series opening. And he said he knew that actress. And I don't remember her name, but I'm terrible.
And you didn't bring me up one time, Lady Bunny? You didn't bring me up? Like, bitch, I am your connection to RuPaul. When you see RuPaul, you say, oh, my God, and Monet Exchange. That's what you're supposed to do, bitch.
Yeah, well, no, what I said is that the show is racist and that Violet is a skinny, white passing man and white men will be dealt with.
Was Rue by himself or was he with his husband?
He was by himself, and I asked him how much he's in L.A. He said he hasn't been to New York in several years.
You mean, wait, New York or L.A.?
He's been to New York in to their place in New York. So I guess I saw him during COVID right before he taped Saturday Night Live. But you know what? I had just come from a massage, and my eyes were rolling in the back of my head, and I was drooling with relaxation.
No, you were not. Like, for real?
Yes, drooling? I was. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, like, you're like a cat getting its ear scratched, you know, when you get a massage. It's like, you know, the eyes start rolling back in the head, and you start grunting and whatnot. I know it's a real turn on. I walked by a store, and Rue was in there, and he was like, you know, like going through like outfits quickly. And this was like 9 p.m. I said, girl, she's busy and your tongue is hanging out of your mouth. So you're
how, not how say do you it. Run into, how do you just be running into RuPaul like this? Like, bitch, I always walk around the city. I would be walking around Los Angeles. I have never, ever bumped into RuPaul. Not Bloody Bunny bumped into RuPaul like 4 times in the past 3 years.
Well, that'd be twice in 2 days, but I didn't say hi the second time.
Because you had the same outfit on. Wow.
And because she was with somebody that, I don't know, maybe it was a trainer. Maybe she was in, that's why I say, knowing Rue, I don't know Rue to put on a look, like to go and do an errand. So mm-hmm. I was a little surprised I'm not going to say Club Kitty because it was all black, but it was definitely like had a Grace Jones.
He's definitely been, his episode 2 look, I thought Ru look is one of the most stunning times I've ever seen RuPaul with that short Dorothy Dandridge kind of haircut, that white hair with that dress. I think, and that eye and the makeup, Raven, I think is one of the most stunning images I've ever seen of RuPaul. He looks beautiful.
Yes. Well, Ru is gorgeous. She's still very gorgeous. Pretty. And yeah. She looks great. I like the colored eyeshadow that she wore with the colored eyeshadow. I'm like, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is getting very racy.
I know. It was like a yellow. No, I didn't
know. On the first episode.
Where she was wearing that jumpsuit with the pattern.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that was whole the first look.
Episode. But girl, what was that performance?
I thought it was great.
It was great?
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, when I see Ru perform, you know, when I see older queens perform, like when I go see Darcelle, when I see, you know, older queens, I'm like, bitch, first, let me tell you something right now, okay? I am, 32 now? My knees, they are on a decline. Okay, I don't know how much longer I have with these fucking knees. I cannot imagine where I'm going to be in my 60s trying to perform in drag. All right, the fact that RuPaul is up
I'll
there.
I'll let you know this year. I'll let you know next year.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine. Like, so when I see you, Ru, Hot Chocolate, all these other kids perform, I'm always like, bitch, work. Because at 32, I know that I do. My legs are not long for this world. I need to like literally like consider like how I need to like eat. When I'm at the gym now, even sometimes in some of my outfits when they're baggy enough, I put on little knee guard braces because my knees hurt so much.
Uh huh. So is this? Do we have an scoop here, an exclusive that you will be retiring? You're in your 30s now, so your knees will go out, and you will retire by 40. Is that? What, I mean,
no. So watching Ru's performance, I'm like, bitch, that is a 62-year-old man dancing, doing choreo, and doing. Bitch, I don't do hair flips now. So that's my opinion.
Oh, so okay, so the hair flip saved it. Did she flip her hair?
Okay. She did do it with her flip.
Girl, they lowered the volume on that fucking track because the stuff she's lip syncing to a rap don't even make no damn sense. She's hoping for some more coin, dress for the ball, but she ready for the wartime. Fire resides in her. The fever got an open mind, but she always keep her. What the fuck does that mean? That's just like, that's like, it's like, so you could have done, I mean, that's what Britney and J-Lo and Janet Jackson and everyone else does. They lip sync to their own words, but they find words that are good first. It's like, you can make yourself sound good in the studio, but it's like, what? As someone who does write lyrics, that's a real, like, I mean, it's a phoning it in that I've never seen that level of phoning it in on TV.
Can I tell you, I want to send you a video. I want to send you a video. Is this video of this guy on YouTube? And he made this, like, it's this 15-minute long video. And I think you will really enjoy it. And it's basically a video about why singers today can't sing like singers like used to. And he goes into this deep dive about why. And a big reason why he's saying is because singers today just aren't putting in their quote-unquote 10,000 hours. Like, there's this whole theory about it. To be good at something, you have to put in at least 10,000 hours of practice. And he, like, breaks down, like, why that isn't. Because, you know, because of arts in school, like, back in the 40s and whatever, the 50s, whatever, and even up to the 60s, I believe, but before Reagan took them out or started making shit. Not Reagan. Who was the president in the 60s? Or 70s.
Oh, JFK, the good-looking one. Carter.
One of the presidents around that time started the really big initiative to take arts out of school. And then, so you're saying, like, so, like, before, like, you would go to school, and just in, like, music classes alone, you're getting, like, like hundreds of, by the time you graduate, you're putting in like at least 1,000 hours. And then plus you add that with people, a lot of people were going to church more. So like you like have Sunday school and you have like church choir, you have all these things that you were putting in like all these hours of practice. And it's just saying singers today just do not get the chance to practice and do that much singing. That's why the singers of today, like the R&B singers of today, just aren't as good as they were before. Like they're not singing like Gladys, like Dion, like Whitney, like fucking, like Aretha. Like their voices just aren't like that anymore. And I'm like, and yes, I believe that to some extent, but also those singers do exist today. They just aren't popular.
Well, it was, yeah, like Jasmine Sullivan.
Exactly.
I mean, she is popular, but that's a singer. Yeah. And she got a record contract because she's a singer. Now, when you say that, I'd like to see that 10,000 hours of video, but that is your Kim Kardashian formula. You don't need to put in the work. You can become famous for nothing. You don't need a talent. You do not need to put in the work. And it's like, to say that the R&B singers of today, you know, didn't have the time to put in the work. Yeah, the sports stars of today had the time to put in the work. The
dance stars is important.
But the dance stars had the acting stars had to but so the singing, it's because we allow them to be poor singers. We allow them to be, I mean, we could just think, Monet, we could have a whole new generation of Gladys Knights and Patti LaBelle's, Stephanie Mills, who is my favorite follow on Instagram. You know, we could have a whole new generation of those.
I just texted you the link of the video to watch. It was really interesting to watch. I mean, but also this dude sounds like he's coming from like, just to let y'all know, I don't know. Let me tell y'all the name of the video. So if you want to watch on your own, it's called Why the New Girls Can't Sing. And it's by Black Music Archive on YouTube. And full disclosure, he sounds like he's coming from like a religious point of view. Like his sentiment seems to be like people just aren't singing in church anymore. That seems to be a big part of his thing, but the other parts of it are interesting, and I think it's a really interesting conversation. I listened to the podcast Still Processing. If y'all want another, I mean, Ebony Irony should be your go-to, but also Still Processing is another nice podcast by the New York Times, and they did an episode about sweat equity, and I was talking about Ella Fitzgerald, how like Ella Fitzgerald was this obviously dynamic singer from the 50s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ella was a heavy set lady. She didn't like, even in like in her early, when she was like early, like late teens, early 20s, like she was never like described as sexy. She was always like matronly and like all this stuff and saying how, and she was also known for sweating so intensely on stage. Like Ella Fitzgerald would be like sweating, and it was like a big thing that would like kind of follow her back then, but she like held it with pride because it was the only part of her quote unquote struggle that she would show. Like no one knew she was poor. No one knew like all of these horrible, obviously growing up a Black woman in the 50s, you can imagine. But the only thing that she would celebrate kind of was her sweat, because she was like, this is the only bad part about me that you'll ever know and see. And then that you have to see. Real interesting.
Interesting. And of course, Ella Fitzgerald sang the song that you competed with Shay, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, on
yes. Oh my God, yeah, All Stars. She did. Did you like that lip sync?
I did like it. I thought that you were both good. I like your old fashioned approach, where you're just basically lip syncing. I mean, you did a few gimmicks, a few like joke things. Mm-hmm. And Shay did the same thing. But she was doing more stylized movements. I mean, they look beautiful with that dress. Shay is definitely one to watch.
So beautiful. Yeah.
I mean, she is crazy talented. But yeah, I like them both.
Oh my God, am I your favorite drag queen, Lady Bunny?
Well, now I'm going to tell you that I did not love your queen runway. I thought, don't kill me. I thought your makeup looked. I know you don't care. I thought your makeup looked great. I thought it was very busy. Like I understand that it was that it was a tracksuit, and I thought that was cool. But then the part at the hip I thought that was a little too busy. Yeah, it was like two different things that didn't come together immediately in my mind. And sometimes with that short time on the runway, they don't have time to check it all out and say, "Oh, I get it." So the wig is a crown, and the you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, I did get that critique from people, and I think, you know, I was mixing the idea of like what would if some hood bitch from the 90s was to go back to the 1700s, whatever, where they had bustles and pinniers, what would that intersection be? And like, not to bring back your point about race earlier, but I will say, like, on my Instagram and on my Twitter, a lot of like black folk, especially black folk from New York, from the South, they were like, "Bitch, I get it, bitch, work." And a lot of people who aren't from that diaspora, who can't identify with those experiences, were like, "What? I don't get it. Like, why the Timbs? Like, bitch, that's what people in the early 90s wore in New York. Bitch, they wore tracksuits and Timbs." You know what I mean? So
you had Timbs with extremely high heels. Who makes those? Those are crazy.
Oh, I made those myself. I'm also a cobbler.
Bitch, you may wear a horseshoe, but you ain't no damn cobbler.
I got them from a place online called Only Maker. They make those shoes. And
yes, I believe I'm familiar with that large size shoe.
Excuse me, they only make them for dainty sized feet. Get it right.
Yeah, how the hell did you get it? It was a pair of them. No, I know what you were going for, but I just don't think it went bam in a moment. I think it's I think, you know, everyone else was a little bit more traditional queen. So listen, you know, I don't judge queens sitting there thinking, "Oh, it's a competition." I'm not like that. That's why I'm not drawn to competition shows of any kind. Who can eat the most bugs? Who can be? So, you know, when I go there with discussing what I thought, I'm not, please don't take anything I say seriously, because I would be telling you standards that I can't live up to. Because, honey, like when Raja said, I got on nails, that spoke to me, because, honey, I wore them when I was young too. And I can't be bothered with it now.
Yes,
Raja. Not with my hemorrhoids, you know, just scratching and bleeding. But the men think I'm on my period, so I don't mind bleeding down there.
Oh,
because I'm already so real that.
My God.
Wait, I have some other notes about Drag Race that, because I have not seen a whole episode, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm old, honey. I'm from the I Love Lucy generation.
Did you watch WandaVision when it happened? You would love WandaVision.
They told me that. I did not see it. Okay. My first time on Paramount Plus. So there, I have an experience with Paramount Plus. Thank you for the password. Now, when you put, what are you talking about? So there's you said it on here twice, bitch. And also on the Scam Goddess podcast that we went on with Diva Lacey, she is a trip.
She's a hoot, right? She's so fun.
Yeah, we're on the Sheep Queen Sheep Herder issue. Diva Lacey on the Scam Goddess. She is a trip. If you think Monet and I could talk, you need to check out this girl. She's great. Wow. So when you log on to Paramount Plus, there is a commercial, but there's no commercials in the show.
MTV.
So if it aired on TV, that would be where the commercials would be.
Yeah, correct.
I'm gonna suggest this. Stay tuned for the commercials in those slots.
Are you one?
No. I'm just saying, if they're showing, if you're paying for a subscription service and you are getting a commercial before you can watch anything, I was like, I thought that's the reason why you didn't have commercial, what you paid, no commercials. So I imagine you will have commercials soon.
Yes, that is correct.
But that's a little business thing. Now, I love Shay, and her movement is incredible. Lip sync is incredible. Her queen look
was divine.
Gagged me.
It was.
I mean, this. How the hell do you get a bold fringe like that that matches all the different colors in your dress? One of the fabrics is like has a sheen to it, and then the outside cape
It's when it's Maison Valentino, honey, that is probably, I don't know. I mean, it's haute couture. I don't know how expensive that shit is, but I'm sure that all that shit is, those are all custom. That's not like a fringe you can go and buy at the store. That's all like custom made and hand woven and from the Valentino collection.
So it's not like Maison Valentino. Okay.
No, Maison Valentino.
Well, I thought Shay looked incredible. I mean, you
incredible.
Really, she has the confidence to mix up like a let's face it, if it were just in like a jacket or whatever, that print could be matronly. It's flowers, but then with that astronomical wig crown,
it was great.
That was just insane. I mean,
that was very beautiful. The earrings.
Oh yeah. Well, I liked her jade earrings. Honey, if that's jade, then her earrings must be down to her knees because those jade earrings looked heavy.
It was ridiculously beautiful.
One thing that now I was surprised to see Shay with her flair. For fashion, come out in an entry look with those big angular shoulder pads. Because, I mean, Lady Gaga did that about, 10, 12 years ago? They've been done to death with every single, stud and whatever. This is the thing. It's so easy for people to come to me because I always look like a reject from the set of Laugh-In. I'm not trying to be judged. I'm doing my thing as I know how to do it. Every queen laughs at my makeup. I'm just saying that I'm done with the shoulder pads and the long sleeve leotards. Can we be done with those? I liked everything about it except the shoulders, but it's like, I think people, I mean, every drag queen in every show is wearing that.
Aren't they?
So, yes, girl, they've been wearing it because I guess it shows off their padding and waist cinching. And so it's like, you know, if you can wear a body bearing, you know, leotard, I can't, then your padding is right. Your butt looks right. Your hips, your everything's smooth, you know. So I
don't know. And some of us don't need padding. Some of us have God given talent.
Yeah, well, honey, I cinch my chins, okay? Just not my waist anymore. But this is a question. So I like to generally watch some of the clips from Drag Race on Instagram because that's what they want to present. That's the numbers in full, although not who won, but like the production numbers and all of it. I like to watch that. But sometimes, like, I know that they have to introduce this different kind of season, but it's like knowing all of those people up there in the show, except the Vivian. Mm-hmm. I don't know Jada much, but I hit it off with her really big time and I admire her performance. They don't walk around saying stuff like, I didn't come to slay, I came to win. They don't walk around saying, I simply am that bitch. So obviously that's something that the producers like to play up is the competition angle.
So you're saying that that's true? This is, but
do you talk that kind of like, I simply am that bitch? Because you don't talk that on this podcast. So is that something that is encouraged by the producers? Is that what drag queens do when they get together? Because, you know, it's,
I mean, you've been around queens in the dressing room and you and some will walk up and be like, oh, bitch, y'all hoes can't take me tonight, honey. Honey, I am wearing this fucking leotard and y'all bitches could never. That does happen. That is how queens like backstage, like talk shop and like kiki. That's my experience with queens.
Well, I think that there are moments that I really enjoyed, like the Snatch Game, where I felt that stuff was more natural and that people's responses weren't, you know, semi-written because they were just goofing. And, you know, Trinity is a fucking goofball. She also looks great. And, you know, it's almost going, well, because she's such a goofball. And she's kind of like the pretty type. So, you know, it's...
Trinity is very funny. Trinity is very situationally funny. She's like, I love hanging out with Trinity and she cracks me up.
And she truly is like an outrageous person. I mean, she is like someone from the bar in Alabama.
She really is. Right.
We can get grand, or she's often self-deprecating as well. Mm-hmm. So she's not like, I'm a gorgeous bitch like Violet. That's her. Or that's also Bianca's shtick. Just kidding. I like it when it seems more like Untucked and less like, it just feels like so often it's a branding exercise, even throwing in old, lingo from the show. Like was it Naomi Campbell or Cameron Diaz? Do they really walk around thinking, I'm going to show you how to put some bass in that walk, which is a song from 10 years ago? I mean, that just seems like the producer said, and I'm
Did
not,
they say
I guess
that?
I shouldn't, yeah, I'm not even trying, I don't even want to, I shouldn't even ask you questions because I know you can't, you have a contract, you can't say anything.
That's not anything weird. No one is telling you what to say. I think that, again, this is all our third time going on the show. And you just present yourself how you want to be seen. No one is telling you, oh, say this. And like, that's just not. I have never experienced a Drag Race where that is a thing, where there's a producer telling anyone to say anything. Anything I have ever said on Drag Race, and in my experience, the girls that I've been Drag Race with, anything they've said on the show, on season 10, All Stars 4, All Stars 7, that's, they're saying of their own fruition. No one is telling, it's feeding you a line or telling you, like, that's just not my experience ever on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds totally natural when I hear Trinity say, you are a pretty bitch and I'm going to push you down. Because
right.
That's not even really a joke. It's like kind of mean and competitive, but it just says, that Trinity is nuts and that, it's kind of cartoon vicious. But sometimes it feels like, I don't know. Like I say, I'm not trying to get you to, I don't know. It seems like it's a branding exercise a lot of the time. And so now let me explain something else, because I didn't see Jinx's season, but I know Jinx, reasonably well. She refers to herself as a sexy, older, like slut,
MILF.
A MILF. Okay, so is that part of... Was that part of her shtick back then? Or no, because she was young?
I think Jinx had just evolved. I mean, that was, 11 years ago? 12, 10 years ago? But, I mean, as long as I've known Jinx, that's been Jinx's thing. She's like, I'm a MILF. I'm a slut. Like, I've known Jinx to be that way since we worked together on that roast. When me and her almost fucked that same, when me and her almost fucked the same trade in Australia,
Oh my God. I guess y'all don't key me into that stuff. I've always thought that she had a boyfriend or whatever. I could understand if her character, not always had a boyfriend, but when she had one, she stuck with him. She didn't have one for a long time. But
I think that's her stage. That is her stage character. Is a MILF. Is a horny MILF.
Now I did enjoy and get a giggle out of her doing that rap in the Legend song. And
hello world, I'm Jinx Bone too, and I'm here to make your stepson spoon.
Yeah, but she says something about where she danced a little jig, and I'm like, I'm kind of glad that she didn't decide to go the hip hop route, because she knows herself enough to where that's going to look insane.
Yeah.
If she's
yeah.
trying to like break dance.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Now, let me see what else I got here. At one point, Evie was crying and laughing. That was strange. That was a strange moment. Now, we did hear Vivian say, I'm doing it for my country about three times. We did get to hear a stiff competition from Vivian, then from you, and then another one from you, and then another one from someone else. I'm just like, I just know somehow, somewhere, there's great drag dialogue that you do hear in a dressing room that we're not hearing, yet we're hearing the same joke repeated four times. You've already done had Uruses. That was some version of that was already repeated three times. So when other people who are fans of the show and they hear the queen say, Mother is here and she's about to show you how to win, or I'm not here to fuck around, I'm here to win, do they cheer over that? Because, I mean, at this point, after they're getting ready to take the 15th season, I would almost have them say, girl, my feet hurt. Like you were just saying me. Girl, my knees have blown since the first time I was on this competition. I mean, that would make me get wrapped up in your character and think, oh, well, she's got rotted knees like me. Anyway, you know I'm insane.
Well, Lady Bunny, I am excited for you to watch more Drag Race. I think we are at our time, Lady Buntree.
Well, first I want to just give one more send-off to the lyrics of Rue's song, which was, they want to see you
my God.
Work, 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 work. I know you want to work, 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 work. So that is totally fresh material for Miss Supermodel of the world with all of the resources in the world. And that is what we get, songwriters galore. And then there's joke writers galore, but we get the same ones. And yet this is repeated over and over again. This is the pinnacle of the Supremes. That's all I'm going to say. I know you're not going to get upset because, you know, anything that I say, but you know that I'm a fucking bitch. But I sometimes when you see that they're, I don't mean the filler's in their face, but I will leave you all, there's a lot of filler in the material. And I don't know of Jinx saying stuff like that, but I want to leave you with a joke.
Okay, let's hear it.
What's the difference between monkeypox and Monet Exchange?
What?
One gives you an awful rash and the other is monkeypox.
On that note, fuck you, bitch. You know what? You're in New York City. The monkeypox is over in New York City, honey. We don't got none in California. So you be careful with that. And I hope when monkeypox attacks your fucking home and you are scratched that shit and it is bleeding pus all over your fucking pussy, then I'm going to be celebrating.
Please don't call it a pussy. It's a pussy. Because I have a pussy. And yes, it is filled with monkeypox. And I am old and fat. And if that doesn't get me a summer lover, I don't know what will.
Well, so we shall see. And we'll chat next week about the new episode of Drag Race. You have a lovely weekend.
A podcast network.